Welcome
to episode 40.
40
of Around the Outside, an IndyCar podcast with your host Chris and Ryan.
Yep.
In this episode, we go over one final recap of the Indianapolis 500, talk about TV ratings and stuff, and the purse. We then move on to some listener questions
that we
received and we answer. And then we go into the Detroit Grand Prix preview, where we do our predictions for both races. We'll predict both podiums.
Yeah, for sure. Good episode. Always enjoy talking IndyCar, and ready to get this weekend going on Friday with some IndyCar practice, and then get into the races and quals, or the quals and races on during the weekend.
Shout out to everybody who listened to episode 39. It was our biggest number that we've seen. So we appreciate the love. As always, spread the word. Tell everybody about Around the Outside that's an IndyCar fan. And let's just keep this thing going. Hope you enjoy episode 40. Here you go. All right, here we go, episode 40.
40.
Your boys are back from Around the Outside IndyCar podcast.
Yes, we are.
Going to touch a little bit real quick, just kind of wrap up the 500. There's some news that came out, obviously, after the 500 and after we did our wrap-up show.
Which we did the day after the race.
Correct. This was the most watched Indianapolis 500 in 5 years.
Yep, since the 100th running in 2016.
It averaged 5.581 million viewers and peaked at somewhere just over 7 million.
Yeah, so that was really good to see.
Really good to see. Mm-hmm. I thought the whole race was spectacular, but the 20 minutes or 25 minutes or so of the Castro Neves celebration.
That was quite awesome.
It's probably the best I've ever seen.
Right. It's pretty good.
I go back and I watch it and I watch it and I watch it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It brings a tear to my eye every time I watch it. And I've listened to Elio talk on different podcasts. Marshall Pruitt had him on his podcast. Really good interview with Elio. And then Kevin and Kevin had him on Trackside. Again, another really good interview with Elio, and just talked about how, you know, him and Shank hooked up and, the process that they're going through. And
we'll have to give that a listen.
And yeah, it's really good. So if you got some time and you haven't done that, I would suggest listening to those two podcasts with Elio.
We would suggest ours, but Elio has not gotten back to us about being on the show.
Yeah. I don't think we've even reached out.
No, we haven't. But yeah, just wrapping up the 500 again. Really good viewership for the race. You know, really good.
It's awesome to see.
And I think it was great to have a four-time winner get his fourth win when you get that many viewers. And it's such a special moment. And I think that's going to be good for the future of not just the 500, but IndyCar in general. And hopefully the sport just keeps climbing back up.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's just the one downside to it all for me is the purse. I really wish I listened to Robin Miller years ago talk about his wish for the purse for the 500 to where it paid $10 million to win. And $1 million just to start it.
Right.
That would be unbelievably fantastic. I know that takes a lot of money, which is probably going to have to come from a sponsor.
Yep.
But this year's purse, however, it was up from last year's purse. You know, last year's purse, they basically cut in half due to COVID.
Yeah.
And no fans in the stands and things like that. But for winning this year's Indianapolis 500, Elio took home $1.828 million.
I would take that payday.
Yeah. Now, Elio didn't take home $1.8 million. I know he did. But that was what Elio won.
Mm-hmm.
For the race, you know, to go along with his team.
And yeah, for sure.
Stuff like that. To put that in comparison, Takuma won $1.37 million last year.
Right.
Okay.
During COVID.
But we go back to 2019, and Simon Pagenaud won $2.6 million.
Right.
For winning the race. Mm-hmm. So about $800,000 more than what Elio won this year.
I'm sure
so,
you'll start seeing it climb back up to that.
But,
next
you know,
year.
Again, that was with 40% attendance. So.
Right.
Supposedly.
Right.
So, yeah. So, hopefully, that purse just keeps on climbing. It would be awesome to one day get to that Robin Miller-esque.
Maybe. You never know. You
10
might,
mil
you
to
might
win. And, one mil to start. I think that brings some people into the race.
I think it would.
But that would be spectacular. So, moving on from the 500, we had some questions thrown at us.
While we were on vacation.
While
so
we were on
why
vacation.
We haven't gotten to.
Right. Actually, I forget. What line were we standing in when we...
I forget. I couldn't tell you.
I forget what we were doing. But our old buddy Lance,
yep,
who we love, sent us in some questions, not only to us but to a couple other podcasts that he listens to. First question: does Romain Grosjean and or Jimmy Johnson run the 500 next year?
I think this is a very easy answer. And I think it is Grosjean and Jimmy Johnson will, in fact, be running the 500 next year. I didn't read articles, but I saw reports today or yesterday about Grosjean expanding his schedule for next year in IndyCar, which at the least running the 500 on the oval side of things. And from the broadcast, you know, it kind of seems that Jimmy's going to be running the 500 next year.
Going back and really watching the, you know, Jimmy was on the broadcast for qualifying,
mm-hmm.
And then back again for, I think, Carb Day.
I think he was there at Carb Day.
And the race.
Yeah.
And listening to what he had to say, and was it Steve Letarte that was on the box with him, which I don't understand, well, NBC, why you get Steve Letarte, who's a NASCAR guy. You could have got several other people to sit up there. But he kept prodding Jimmy about running the 500. Like, where's your mind at? And then, I mean, he was kind of basically saying, like, I know Jimmy, and, I can tell how he's acting, and, you know, it piqued your interest at the beginning, and now you're definitely, you know... Jimmy Johnson's definitely.
Jimmy Johnson got there. He experienced the month of May with fans in the garages and was out there on track for quals and race day and carb day and everything that comes with it. And he was like, man.
Unless something negative happens with him in all the road course races that he's doing.
Right.
Unless something happens, and knock on wood that it doesn't, because we don't wish it on anybody, but unless he gets in a bad wreck or he gets injured or something, then I think that may diminish his, not only his, but his family's, and specifically mm-hmm. his wife's reluctancy would probably be greater to let him go drive Indy.
Right.
I think as it stands right now, I think Jimmy Johnson will be in a car. I think even if you listen to TK,
mm-hmm.
he's like, you know, he's got a 2-year deal with Chip. And if Jimmy, you know, runs his car, then Tony's going to have another car. So that'd be a 5-car team.
Right. You'll see Ganassi be a 5-car team at the 500 next year.
So I definitely think Jimmy Johnson runs the 500.
I agree.
I would tend to lean towards believing that Romain Grosjean runs the 500.
Yeah, I personally think you're going to see Grosjean full time next year.
I think you're going to see Grosjean run Gateway.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
I think he'll be at Gateway this year.
I think he'll be at Gateway this year.
That'll end up being his little test of waters.
Right. And to be honest with you, neither one of these two guys, I think, would be even considering this if IndyCar did not have the aero screen.
Correct.
So I think that aero screen gives these guys a lot of safe feelings.
Yeah, for sure.
And does the aero screen help in Robert Wickens' crash? I don't think so.
Probably not.
But those
crashes nowadays are far and in between.
Right, but being the kind of crash that it was, but it's definitely giving these guys a lot of confidence with safety. So,
right.
I think we both double check this one, and we both think that both of them
would agree.
Running the 500.
Yeah, for sure.
Next question Lance had was about Elio and what happens to Elio next. And I think that kind of got answered.
Yeah, I just
today or yesterday, yeah. Whatever it was, that they are sticking to the plan with Elio running five more races, yep, this year.
So he'll end up running the five races left this year. He's in the whole SRX thing, so I think he'll do that for the rest of this year too, and any other IMSA obligations he's got with Wayne Taylor, if any, for the rest of the year.
Right.
And then I think you'll see Elio full-time in a second Shank car next year.
That's what I believe, you know, listening to the interview with Michael Shank.
Mm-hmm.
He tends to lead on that they're working on,
right,
a couple year deal is what it sounded,
yeah,
like.
Yeah, for sure.
And hopefully that involves Elio. Sucks for the series that their Indianapolis 500 champion is not running at their next race.
Mm-hmm.
Which again is this weekend at Detroit. But you'll have Elio for five of the last six races, I believe. So it'll be interesting to see what he does in that car, especially once he gets a couple more races under his belt.
Yeah, for sure.
I think he'll be in tune.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what's next for Elio, Lance? Five more races this year, and I believe, and I think Ryan does too,
I do.
That he'll be full time in that Meyer Shank
06
car for next year.
Yep.
Maybe it's even sponsored by Busch Light Draft.
That would be fantastic.
You never know. So, but that's going on with Elio. The next question that Lance asks is about engine manufacturers once IndyCar goes hybrid. Will there be more of them?
I believe that is 2023 now.
And that is the $10 trillion question, Lance. Never did I think that IndyCar would go this long without having a third or a fourth engine manufacturer.
Yeah, for sure.
And just being having Honda and Chevy. I don't mind it, just being Honda and Chevy. But competition is good, as long as that competition can step up to the plate. Because
the last time we had competition, that third engine manufacturer did not step up to the plate.
No, Lotus was pretty bad.
Pretty bad. So, yeah, not too good.
So, I don't know, man. I mean, I'd love to see Ford get back in the mix.
I think there's a greater chance of it with Penske at the helm, for sure. I think there's a better chance.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about Ferrari coming over. So you just never know.
Yeah, for sure.
You just never know. So those are the questions that Lance asked.
Right.
The engine question is probably the one that we just really can't answer.
Couldn't tell you.
Because any answer that we give you is just going to be pure speculation.
Right.
And any answer that anybody gives you on any podcast unless they have specifically talked to Jay Fry themselves, then it's just going to be speculation, as Ryan gives me a face over here.
Yeah.
So, well, you're sitting there doing something weird with your shoulder. I don't know what you're
stretching.
I don't know what you're doing over there. So, covering that, it's time for our first break.
Probably first and only break.
And when we come back, we will preview the Detroit Grand Prix.
Let's do it. And here we go, as we're going to preview the Detroit Grand Prix.
Yes.
It's always been, it's been the race after the 500 for the past few years now.
Yeah, it used to be Texas. Back in the day, it was Milwaukee, which was, I wish we would do. But so, like we do all, you know, every time we preview a race, we'll just go over the circuit. So, the Detroit Grand Prix is a 2.35 mile, 13 turn, temporary street circuit.
And it is quite rough.
And it is going to beat the bejesus out of these drivers.
For sure.
Especially in a doubleheader.
Yep.
Looking at past winners of this race.
There's a lot, because it's been a doubleheader.
Last year, the two winners were Joseph Newgarden and Scott Dixon.
In 2019.
I'm sorry, 2019. Last year was COVID.
Yep.
Last year, the winner was COVID.
We got COVID-fied.
So, in 2019, it was Newgarden and Dixon. 2018, Dixon and Hunter Ray. 2017 was Grammy and Grammy, the Ray Hall double.
Yep.
2016, Bourdais and Will Power. And then just bouncing around in 14, it was again Bourdais and Power.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both a couple time winners. And then in 2012, it was Dixon. So Dixon's a 3-time winner. Detroit's always one of those races, man.
It's always a weird one.
That just crazy stuff happens. I think this is the one a couple years ago that it rained.
And Marco threw on the slicks.
They sent Marco out on the slicks, and man,
he's wheeling that thing
around.
Man,
that was some of the best in-car footage ever, because he was
wheeling that thing around.
He was driving that thing, dude, yep. And he did one hell of a job.
He did.
On slicks. That was pretty impressive.
That was also the race where, maybe not that one, but it was that weekend, I think, where Rossi was leading. And he was there up in the championship, and he ended up blowing a tire or something.
I know, he locked the brakes up.
Yeah, that's what it was, and he cost himself some points.
Yeah. So this track can be treacherous, as even the pace car driver knows, because...
Oh, yeah, that's right. They wrecked the pace car. I think that was the last time we were here,
too.
That
was like the president of Chevrolet or somebody wrecked that brand-new Corvette.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this can be a crazy race, man. This can be a crazy race with strategy. This can be a race where people just find the fence, you know,
yeah.
And just
it's
put it in.
It's a tough track.
Put it in the wall. Yeah. So there could be a lot of swinging points here. As we stand right now, Pelot's
leading the points.
Is leading the points.
You've got Pelot. I know Dixon is next.
Dixon's like 36 points down. 26 points down, something like that.
And then Award 1 point behind Dixon
but
in third.
I truly believe that you take Pelot out of it. I still think you can kind of look at your points leader as Scott Dixon. Although, I mean, he's not. But
Pelot's been pretty strong.
I know, and everybody's just waiting on Pelot to mess up, have a bad race. So far he hasn't. Can he continue that? We'll see.
So your top 10 in points right now is Pelot, Dixon, Award, Pagano, VK, Joseph, Colton, Graham, Scott McLaughlin, and Marcus Ericsson.
See, that's why I don't like double points. That 500 shouldn't be double points.
Well, it
is. Because it's just too big a swing either way.
Well, here's I think we talked about it last episode, but Elio's in front of Rossi.
Yeah, we did.
Points.
We did. So, Detroit, We need to go to that track sometime. That'd be fun to go. I heard that the Friday session is free. You just had to claim tickets. I was listening to Kevin and Kevin today. I was listening to the show they did yesterday. All those tickets are gone.
Oh, sweet.
And there's very few reserved seating and grandstands left for Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, that's good.
Every ticket gets you into the paddock, which I think is kind of like Road America. They're doing the same thing.
Yep. And but, I actually just saw Mid-Ohio just announced that their paddock's going to be open as well for fans.
So. There you go. I like Mid-Ohio's paddock. Yeah. Pretty neat.
It's old school.
Old school wooden barns and stuff. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Qualifications.
A little different this week.
For this race are a little different. You've got they will qualify twice.
Yep, one on Saturday, one on Sunday.
There's one practice session for the whole thing.
It's Friday.
It's Friday evening. It starts at like 5 o'clock Eastern time. So I'm sure that's gonna be on Peacock.
Yeah, it is.
And it's like 75 minutes, so it's like an hour and 15 minutes. Yep. And that's it.
They get that practice, which is on Peacock, and then every qualifying session is listed as going to be on ESPN, NBCSN, plus it'll be on Peacock as well, would be my guess.
But quals will be a little different. They're going to have a group one and a group two, and again, those will be based off your practice times on how they determine who's in group one and group two.
Correct.
They're going to take six from group one, six from group two, and they're going to put them in to the Firestone Fast 12.
Yep. So instead of dwindling down to six from that group of 12, we're just going to end up getting your pole sitter from that group of 12, which is going to be really interesting.
Right. And they're gear. Okay. So they're 15 minutes. The first quarter or the first qualifying sessions will be 15 minutes apiece.
Right.
The Firestone Fast 12 will be 10 minutes. However, they will be guaranteed at least 5 minutes of green flag.
Right.
So, if somebody... Because 10 minutes is not a lot of time.
No, it is not.
You got to get out there and get on it.
Yeah.
So, if somebody stuffs it in the wall and causes a red flag, you're at least going to get 5 minutes of guaranteed green time.
Gotcha.
So... that will be rather interesting. So then the field, they'll set the field 1 through 12, and then the rest of the field will fall in behind that.
Correct.
So an added car this week.
There are 25 entries.
Is
the 45 Hy-V Cheetos machine.
Cheetos. Have you seen the paint scheme?
It's pretty cool.
It is pretty wicked, man.
This was getting speculated for a while because there were, if you look... at some pictures at a Hy-V grocery store, there were like cardboard cutouts of this car there.
Really?
Promoting it. So I kind of figured something was coming. I didn't know it would be this soon.
Yep.
At Detroit, but yep, you'll have Santino Ferrucci piloting that thing around.
Well, it'll be interesting because he's either going to be good
or he'll be very bad.
Or he's going to be in the fence.
Or he might wreck somebody. Who knows?
I was listening to Kevin, and Kevin Lee was like, "Yeah, he could be, you know, in the 20s." And I'm like, "I don't know. I know it's Detroit, but Santino's
he's been pretty solid,
pretty decent driver. Yeah. I mean, you know, we'll I think he rubs a lot of people the wrong way, but
I think he does.
You know, I can't." Well, I don't know.
We'll have to see.
We'll just have to see. So, but here we go, man. We're getting ready to get into it. We got Detroit, and then what? Road America is the following weekend?
I believe
so. Is that right? Yeah. I mean, we're getting hot and heavy here. And then what's going to suck is they're going to take a 5-week vacation.
Yeah.
Because of the Olympics.
Right.
So, you know, we're going to go quite a while without some IndyCar action.
Yeah,
sure. I believe. So what's the schedule? When's that?
Hold on.
I think that starts in July.
Hold on. Schedule. We got Detroit, Road America next weekend. July 4th is Mid-Ohio. And then they don't race again until August 8th.
Yeah.
At the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix.
So that's Nashville.
And then after that, they have the Big Machine Spiked Coolers Grand Prix at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
That's the doubleheader
with NASCAR.
With guys. The Brickyard, yeah. Right? And then they're coming back and running the Harvest GP again?
No, that is the Harvest GP.
They just renamed it.
Yeah, it got a sponsor.
So then what's the next one?
Then we go to Gateway.
Yeah.
August 21st, September 12th. We're at Portland again this year. Thank goodness. Uh-huh. I enjoyed that race. Then we're at September 19th. We are at Laguna Seca. And to finish off the year, we're at Long Beach on September 26th.
Fingers crossed that one still goes because of California is kind of crazy. But
well, they just ran the Sonoma race.
They're loosening stuff up. So, all right. Time for predictions.
Let's predict it up.
Race number one.
You go first.
You want me to go first?
I do want you to go first.
Okay, so we're just doing podiums.
All right.
Okay, race number one, coming home in third place. Slick Willie P. Willpower.
Okay.
Coming home in second place. The guy I think is going to win the championship again, Scott Dixon.
Okay.
And coming home in first place in race number one, I think he bounces back from a disastrous Indianapolis 500, which he probably could have and very well would have been up there in the running to win had his wheel not fallen off.
Graham
Rahal.
Okay.
Wins race number one.
I like it. Race number one for me, I have in third place Colton Herta. Second place, Joseph Newgarden.
Okay.
And coming in first, your third place finisher, Slick Willie P, breaking through for his first win of the year at Detroit.
That would be Penske's first win of the year.
Yes, it would, which they need.
Which is absolutely amazing. I don't think anybody would have ever picked that.
Yeah.
Saying that we're, you know, after six races into the season, Penske hasn't won a race. You couldn't have
kind of crazy.
Race number two, finishing in third place.
Yep.
Having an outstanding weekend and making a lot of places back up in the points is Graham Rahal.
Okay.
So two podiums for Graham.
Yeah, that'd be good for him.
Finishing in second place in race number two, Colton Herta. And finishing in first place in race number two, again, your future seven-time champion,
okay,
Scott Dixon,
okay,
will bring home the win in race number two.
Okay. So in third for me, I have Pato O'Ward.
Pato.
In second, finishing with his second podium of the weekend, climbing spots back up for him in the championship, I have Colton Herta.
Okay, we predicted that one.
And coming in first.
Yep.
Finally, breaking through after about a year and a half of bad luck.
Yeah.
Alexander Rossi.
Rossi. I'd love to see Rossi have a good weekend.
It's been weird the past year and a half because last year he wasn't very good anywhere.
Yeah.
And this year, you know, they talked about the whole preseason. All, you know, they figured out their problems and all this other stuff. And he's 15th in points.
Alex just should have signed that contract with Penske.
Well, I think he's going to have, which doesn't happen too often, I think he's going to have a second chance to sign that contract.
I don't know. I mean, Simon's in fourth in points, man. I mean,
yeah, because of a good 500.
I don't know. So anyways, that's our race. We got any bets going?
I haven't looked.
We got any early odds that you can pull up real quick?
Well, I don't have DraftKings, so let me check points bet real quick.
Points bet.
If they're even up, they may not be up. Give me a second.
They may not be up.
Motor Racing. They are, in fact, not up.
Not up. That's pitiful.
They have all of NASCAR stuff. You can even bet on the truck series.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
Lewis Hamilton's the favorite to win the French Grand Prix.
Well, yeah, he's probably the favorite to win every race.
Max Verstappen's close. So,
all right. Well, it'll be up on DraftKings, PointsBet, Barstool stuff. They'll probably have some.
It might be on Barstool.
FanDuel probably have some stuff on there.
Except Barstool is a lot more limited with how many states they're available in.
Yeah. But I got Ray Hall and Dixon as the two winners.
I've got Power and Rossi.
Power and Rossi. I would be happy with any of those four guys.
Yeah.
Winning the race. So that's going to wrap up episode 40 for you.
That it will.
We will be back again next week to do the Detroit GP wrap up and
that we will.
Preview Road America.
Yeah, for sure.
I wish we were going to Road America.
That would be nice. Because
I need some Spotted Cow beer.
Yeah.
So we'll have to make a road trip up there.
At some point.
At some point to get some of that. So hope everybody enjoys the rest of your week. Tune in to the race. Tune into all the practices and qualifications on Peacock or wherever else you can view them. And
let's keep growing IndyCar.
Keep growing IndyCar, man. Get it back to the way it was. Wouldn't it be awesome if they just like could wave a magic wand and say, okay, you can have all your tobacco money back and you can have
all
your...
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
And all of a sudden we've got Marlboro Team Penske back and, Andretti. We could be Andretti Cool Andretti Autosport. Green.
That'd be pretty wicked, wouldn't it?
Yeah, a lot of money back in those days.
Wasn't Bobby sponsored by Budweiser at one point?
He was sponsored by Budweiser.
That was his 500 winning car, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
See, I know some stuff.
Yeah, okay. All right, we're out. We'll see you again next week. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Cheer on your favorite driver to a nice, safe race for everybody.
Yep, deuces.
We'll see you.